start of interview with M. Srikanta, 22nd of September 1967.
Now, before you put that on,
yes,
we'll first have a preliminary discussion. So otherwise, you don't want all the things. Now, it will be in the more or less the form of question and answers, no?
Yes, I think that's quicker. I'm interested in several aspects of the administration. I'm interested in your personal experiences in the field. I'm also interested in what any comments you have to make on the structure of the service.
Yes.
But I think I take my primary interest, and that is land first, you see. Particularly this land development ordinance. Now, I have some knowledge of the background, you know, brains, influence and things like that. And I've also seen the ordinance itself and have some knowledge of it. But if I may ask, as you see it, what is its main aim or main, what are its main objectives?
You see, the main objective of that is to give a type of holding to the landless peasant, which he will be able to retain in spite of his indigence.
And improvidence.
Improvidence, that's the word, improvidence. Mm-hmm. That is the main idea. That is why it is called a protected holding. And it cannot be seized by a process of law, it cannot be mortgaged, it cannot be transferred, except with the permission of the government agent. So these have all been, all these safeguards have been provided for historical reasons. It was found that the peasants were becoming steadily landless. Mm-hmm. And early British phase, when all the valuable land had been taken up for big estates. And what was left afterwards in private ownership was steadily passing into the hands of the middle armies and so on. So that was the reason that prompted the late Mr. B.S. Naka to give the peasant a form of holding that will, as you said earlier, protect him against his own impulse.
Among the people to which the land were passing, could we include Moorish traders and Chettiyas too?
That is one of the business classes. Because in many of these south villages, the rural areas, they happen to be the traders to whom these people had a Chettiya produced.
Apart from that aim, I was wondering whether there was another aim, because in
also to create a healthy, a peasant as a backbone of the nation, so long being primarily. A healthy peasantry which will form the backbone of the nation, because the Ceylon has to be primarily an agricultural country.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering whether Mr. D.S. Naika himself was influenced by a kind of romanticism, you know, trying to recapture the spirit and achievements of the Polonnaruwa period. And things like that.
Of course, those things could have inspired him. Mm-hmm. Inspired him in the sense that the people who had reached such an advanced state of civilization and development should be in this unhappy position. So no doubt, those things inspired him a great deal. And that is why he, I think, picked up, decided to go ahead with the colonization schemes in Mini area and Parajanam Samudra, the Bolaro district, which various schemes to be started.
I also noticed that one of the conditions of the tenure is that you have to nominate only one mayor. So I presume there is a concept of having economic units too.
Yes. They are, that is what is called units of subdivision. It is called an economic unit of subdivision, both for the highland and the paddy land. And that was generally specified in the permit that was issued. So the other object was to prevent fragmentation.
Would you class as the major objective?
Protection.
Has there been any change of emphasis since BSN Nigel's time?
No. In fact, it is a very timely question, because the government is now thinking of amending the land development ordinance in the light of the recommendations of the land commission. And actually a cabinet paper is before the house, before the cabinet. And there, the idea is to give a type of grant which will enable the government to get back a portion of the cost of development. That is, we leave out the infrastructure cost, which in any case is the responsibility of the federal government, but recover the cost of development from the farmer and give him a grant, which is more or less like a sindakare. The only condition that is being imposed is that the transfer should have the permission of the government deal. This is really, again, the last attempt to safeguard the present.
But what is there to pre-
And also, to give the holder a sense of ownership. Now, under the present tenure, he's paying premium as he's going to the president's gate.
Oh, yes, to what extent are they?
No, they are not paying. I give you the reason why that has not worked. They don't get the sense of possession, which is ownership, which is so deeply ingrained in all things. Now, I tell you, we have been recently having some experiments in fruit farming, in settlement. In fact, I had the privilege of starting one of the first two settlements in Jaffna when I was here in Jaffna. And we started it as group farm. The idea being that we develop the land as a group. That is clear, fairly as far as possible. But after a time, 1 year or 18 months or 2 years, the land is given in individual lots. And you can just imagine the immense joy the boys had, the youth had, when they were given the individual lots. Then it becomes something their own, where they put in their maximum effort. So similarly, government is trying to achieve a dual purpose. One is to recover a portion of the development, cost of development, and again plug it back for further development. And secondly, to give the colony a greater sense of ownership and also greater freedom to dispose of his land.
Now, as I see it, the LDO tenure, once it reaches the grand stage at least, even if not earlier, is virtually freehold.
Yes?
Virtually freehold.
You are right in a sense, because Mr. Kanagasundaram, who was one of the former land commissioners, he told me that the LDO holding is the best form of holding in the world, because if you satisfy the conditions laid down in the summit, there is no way in which the person can be disposed of the land. That is the pure legal expression. But in practice, a man likes to, for example, in emergency, in an extreme case, yeah, he wants to move out of the place, he may want to kill the land. Now those facilities are now found to be
But then, opening the road to undermine one of the primary objectives by mob.
Now, there, what we propose is, of course, this stage will only be reached after land is fully developed. And that will take a few years.
Yes.
When the land will become very valuable to him. Once that happens, he will not be so hasty to part with it except for very good reasons. But we have the further safeguard that the DA is constantly necessary. Which means that we will be keeping a watch on the number of transactions that are taking place. And if at any time we find that this is going on a large scale, immediate corrective measures will be adopted. In fact, I have suggested that the regulation provision should be made for every such registration to be notified to the government agent, and he should get returned so that we can keep track of the way that this is progressing. But we examined the version of this ordinance in 1935. Because agriculture has not progressed very much in this financial country. Has not progressed very much.
So you think it's because of the lack of incentives?
Lack of incentives. Highland cultivation is almost negligible. So that it has been found necessary to make certain changes to make the peasant a better agriculture.
But won't he be able to mortgage the land and thereby get deeply into debt and reach a position where the chap who lends the money doesn't want the land, but he's having to...
Government has been very careful. In fact, at the last cabinet meeting, a special committee has been appointed to go into the question of establishing a rural bank. Government bank. And even in the present draft, provision is only made to mortgage it to government banking institution. In other words, the People's Bank or the Bank of Ceylon.
Why should there be a rural bank due credit when you already have this cooperative credit and the People's Bank?
There is a special reason for that. Now, the entire credit facility is handled by the agrarian services. Amount of millions and millions of rupees is now just now being passed on to the People's Bank and the Bank of Ceylon. So, any further burden on the commercial bank is probably considered not desirable. So they want to create an independent institution which will handle these things.
What are they going to do about the question of a nominated heir?
That's fine. But here, we are giving a very important protection to the surviving spouse. The colonization schemes we have found very often that going to various reasons which I will not detail, but which you can yourself get. Very often the woman finds herself and her children in the street after her husband dies because he has quietly transferred it to somebody else. So she is given, the surviving spouse, whoever it is given the only the right, that is the life interest, to the property. And after that it will go to the nominated successor, whoever it is. This is the result of actual experience.
Has this rule that there should be 1 year, or as modified 2 years, led to an increase in family disputes?
No, not that much. Because If the nomination has been done in the regular way, the issue of the permit, transfer of the permit to the nominated successor is automatic. And it has done that way. I think, considering the very large number of lands we have alienated, I think I don't think the percentage of disputes is even amounts to 2 or 3%.
No, I was wondering whether the brothers fight over the question.
No, what we are trying to do is, we try to find them land adjacent to the colonization scheme so that those who don't inherit the land can settle down there. But there is one fundamental defect in the system of alienation which you must appreciate and which you are now very conscious of. Earlier, one of the qualifications for selection of the land purchase was the size of the family. In other words, the man with the largest family is not necessarily the best agriculturalist. So as a result of this, we have a tremendous population in this colonization scheme, and at the same time, the agricultural condition of the land also has suffered. So, more recently, I think in the last 2 years, Dr. Abel, Professor Abel from Israel has come and he has made a study, and he has underlined the need to select people more for their agricultural competence rather than for their ability to produce a big family.
But how is an average district land officer to test a certain agricultural competence?
No, he can, by inquiry, because this is done in public, by inquiry as to what he is doing, now, for example, his physical condition, whether he's actually engaged as an agriculturalist, and so on, he can find out. I don't think, in fact, we have not much difficulty in imposing this new condition, because more or less it will come to this. Young families with 1 or 2 children who are actually engaged in agriculture would be probably the best type of colony.
And it means that it's different, that you're getting a younger man than an older man.
Yes, younger man. In other words, a man who has great energy to devote to his land, and is also who can be influenced to adopt more progressive measures than older people.
To what extent did the previous restrictions against mortgage, etc., all these restrictions meant for protection, actually provide protection?
It worked like this. When the what happened was, the colonists started mortgaging his crops year after year. With the result, far from lifting up from its penury, we have been really putting him back into that position.
I don't think you can put the whole blame on the government there.
No, not at all. It is also due to the fact that our villages. Now, I tell you a very interesting case. I tell you a very interesting case which came up before the government agents conference. When Mr. Mahinda Silla was government agent at Andhrajapura last year, this is last season, he selected certain villages and carried out a special project in paddy cultivation, where all the inputs, all the facilities were given at the proper time. And this particular village happened to be a depressed class village called Lebanon. And where the yield never exceeded 25 or 26 bushels, these people were able to get 100 bushels per acre. And he said, the net result was, these people started drinking and gambling. It did not help to raise their standards of living, it did not help them to build new houses. They just frittered away the money. So this takes us to another aspect of colonization, which I wanted to mention to you. When you transplant villages from their ancient moorings, everything that is required for a full life must be provided in a new place. In other words, man lives by not by bread alone, but by, there are many other things. So that I can tell you, only thing is don't make this
public.
I was director of land development, and as such I had the privilege of going along with Mr. D.S. Ennaka when I was Prime Minister, and our present Prime Minister was then Minister of Agriculture and Lands, to Mineria and Polnaruwa, last two visits. And you know, the old man was a disappointed man, because while these new colonization schemes, people's wealth had increased, income had increased, it had not in any way served to make them better people. That is, they were just wasting their money without any improvement.
The old man told you
this. Yes, they were disturbing me. So he made an order that one cottage out of every 100 should be given to a Buddhist priest. But that didn't work. You see? So he was, I know his thoughts. While he was very grateful for the pioneers, for the hardships they underwent and so on, but he was very sorry that they were not, so to say, better for the greater income that they received. So, this is a very important aspect now that we have to keep in mind. We have to provide them with the type of religious worship they are accustomed to. We'll have to encourage the, provide them with some kind of cultural facilities and so on for drama and that and this. Otherwise what happens is, they, you know, when they have no idea of recreation or this thing, they will naturally tend to dissipate their income. So this is a very important aspect. And in fact, when I was in Japan, this matter made a very deep impression in my mind. And we saw to it that whenever villages were taken, a temple was built and various other facilities were provided. In other words, there should be continuity of cultural and religious life. Mm-hmm.
But the way in which the Eastern Naika saw religious life, you know, I think D.S. Ennaka's concept of a good man and a better living, including the spiritual aspects, was the final losing battle, because the cultural activities include film shows. And if you ask me, film shows undermine that sort of concept.
I said both religious and cultural. Now, for example, what I have in mind is, if at that time, of course, it didn't just strike me, it was making an experiment for the first time. If he had made arrangements with one of the Malvata Chakra or Gatriya Chakra to put up a temple, have a good priest resident there, and make these people go to the temple and so on, you know, it would have provided some kind of training. So I am not thinking too much of the spiritual aspect as higher spiritual life. I am only thinking of the continuity of religious and of cultural and religious life. Mm-hmm. Now, for example, when a man is in a village, he goes to the temple for a prayer day. He is used to provide meals for the priest and so on. But now, to some extent, that is being rectified very gradually. But then a whole generation has gone on the old way.
Automatically, once the colony began, some of these chapters established temples on their own.
You see, they have no systematic establishment of temples and so on. I mean, Devalayas at that time. You see, it was more or less left to individuals with a little initiative to go and get all of a bit of land and so on. It was not done in any systematic way.
Coming back to the LDO tenure, I wonder whether those colonists of the 40s and 50s and late 30s realized that they were getting something that was virtually freehold. Or did they get, now for instance, Singhalese call it Baduita, which indicates that it is a leasehold.
Yes, sir.
But it isn't quite leasehold.
Well, the point is, till the grant is given, he holds it on a permit. So, which is like a lease.
Yes, but he is not easily evicted from even...
No, no, he has got all the protection, but in the minds of the colonists, that the land is crown and not his, could not be eradicated at any time.
I was wondering whether it is just an excuse rather than a...
No, 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 this is deeply rooted in our... I suppose this is even... this is common to human nature now. I say even in Russia now, we are reintroducing the public voting, so nothing new to our people.
And of course, there has been one argument against this tenure and for loosening this type of tenure, namely that you can't prevent man from being improvident, and it's better to let the natural economic forces have their play, and in fact that this might lead to more production.
This is exactly the attitude that the Land Commission took. On the one hand, they saw the need for restoring normal rights of sale and so on, transfer and so on. At the same time, they have expressed fears whether it will result in these lands again going wholesale into particular groups who are not present. So this conflict is there all the time.
And I presume that the present arrangement which you are considering is a kind of compromise.
It is a compromise. It's nothing short of a compromise.
I noticed that in the Land Commission, Mr. Farmer wrote a dissenting minute on the question of nominated heirs. He was against that too. And I think he said that it's not necessary to control subdivision, if I'm correct.
We have found that under the normal, if that provision had not been made, there would have been tremendous fragmentation, which in turn leads to very poor development of the land. You see, now the number of people who own a very small bit of land, then it becomes nobody's business to improve the land. So I think that was a very wise provision which we have retained. Mr. Palmer might have seen it in the background of a very highly educated society which is very conscious of its civil rights and obligations. But we have to think of our own peculiar problems.
Taking the whole concept of this LDO tenure as originated, I wonder whether Now, till you began the system of having a special district landlord. The infrastructure depended on the GA, on the headman. That infrastructure cope with the problem at that time?
In fact, if you ask me, we cope with the problem very effectively. Now, in 1940-41 I was in Kurnag. And there was a government agent, myself, and then OA and all that. As far as the animal was concerned, I was the only doctor doing the work.
But could you keep an eye on all these permits and on the adoptees and see that they didn't give it out on?
Well, we had some of the supervisor of land development, then overseers and so on.
Even then?
Oh, yes.
Even
village expansion, we had the SLDS. And minor officials like overseers, land development. So they were there.
Stop that.
Then there was
the officer.
At that time it was Ratamatma.
But then why did they have to nominate all these DLs?
No, because there was a tremendous expansion in land. It's increasing population.
I wonder if all the conditions laid down by this ordinance demands vigilance that people can't give to their even with the assistance of lower levels of
government. For example, a colonizing officer. So that if he does, and he has no other work except to look after these people, so that if the colonization officer is going to properly supervise,
They have their own little cups.
No.
Of course, the position could be solved by having the yellow types. In the other
level, that involves us in a form of establishment.
So, of course, one of the problems about vigilance arises from some popularity. They try to get around this nominator there, they try to mortgage crops where they give it out on Monday.
Quite right.
So, I was also interested in one of farmers and leechers' arguments that the traditional system was based on a reciprocal cultivation and reciprocity as being the best method. But in the colonization scheme, you got individualism.
I don't know whether it was unpopular,
It certainly, if the traditional rural groups of people against each other continued in the colonization scheme, it would have been really very good. But the initial difficulty was that the open people came from different villages and different sources. So then it took time for them to become a homogeneous. But I don't think that that is a very clear effect as far as Sahib and Tiyogan has been concerned. No doubt it would be much better if the cooperative system had followed. That's for the higher system. You have put your finger on the weakest point in the administration of the land development law. That has to be the quality of the supervision.
Perhaps there's another weak point which is virtually impossible to eradicate. I was looking at the attitude of the colonists in that they seem to demand more and more from the government without giving much return.
That is, in fact, it is a very sad admission that after government has dumped, spent, invested millions and millions of rupees, he has not got a content with the colonist. You always ask him for more. So that the proposed amendment is really a last effort to make him a little more responsible and responsive to what government is doing for him.
In the old days, when you were 80 years old,
Of course, we are here to go to the
I want to get a little bit of heart because I feel that if the man is not doing it, I also don't want to have any books.